RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia to highlight partnership for peace prosperity at ASEAN-US summit. Vice President Yusuf Kalla sets target to have lowest interest rate in ASEAN. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said Indonesia will highlight its concern for the establishment of stronger partnerships for peace and prosperity during the upcoming ASEAN-US summit. Speaking at a press conference on Sunday before he departed for the U.S. to attend the ASEAN-US summit that will be held in Sunnylands, California on February 15 to 16, President Joko Widodo said both ASEAN and the U.S. had an obligation to bring peace and stability to the region and the world. In the summit, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to lead a discussion session on terrorism. The president said Indonesia would also address the importance of community involvement, including through social media, in the fight against terrorism. In terms of welfare, he mentioned Indonesia would encourage the enhancement of economic cooperation in the field of small and medium enterprises, entrepreneurship promotion and innovation, including the development of the digital economy. At the same time, Indonesia would enhance effort to bring peace both to the region and the world. Apart from attending the U.S. ABC meeting, President Joko Widodo will also visit Silicon Valley, the home to hundreds of startups and global technology companies. Indonesia's Vice President Yusuf Kalla has set a target for Indonesia to have lowest lending interest rate in ASEAN next year. Speaking at the opening ceremony of the Indonesia Property Expo at the Jakarta Convention Center on Saturday in Jakarta, that by the end of the next year, all interest rates will be 7%. Earlier in January 2016, Bank Indonesia set its reference rate at 7.25%. Yusuf Kalla revealed that Indonesia had the highest lending interest rate in ASEAN. Yusuf Kalla explained that high interest rate would hamper the economic growth of a country. Developed countries did not apply high lending interest rates. He added that high interest rate would draw funds out of Indonesia instead of into the country. The government would implement a policy in order to lower the interest in the near future. The House of Representatives DPR Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah said that the issuance of black passport for House members could reduce the frequency of working visit overseas. Fahri explained that House members who needed to go overseas must gain approval from the Foreign Affairs Minister. Speaking on Saturday in Jakarta, Fahri said that the Legislative Institution or MD3 law mandated a diplomacy function for the House in order to support Indonesia's foreign politics. According to Fahri, House members who gain black passport are those who are conducting a working visit. When they are not visiting, the passport will be recalled. Earlier, House Commission 1 overseeing Defense, Intelligence and Foreign Affairs asked Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi to issue diplomatic passport for 560 House members. passports are provided for state officials, such as ministers, to conduct working visits overseas. For the House, such passports are issued only for the House speakers. Senior lawyer Magdir Ismail said that the revision of the law on the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK was necessary since no institution had been established to supervise the Anti-Graft Commission. Speaking in a discussion in Jakarta on Saturday, Magdir said, the establishment of a supervisory council will make KPK serving its functions, particularly those related to tapping operations in an orderly manner. Magdir added that revising the point on the letter of order to stop investigation or SP3 was also necessary. For example, the SP3 would be necessary for the corruption case entangling Bambang Suharto, who came to the court without being able to move and was aided with respiratory equipment. However, Magdir clarified that the KPK law revision must be supported with revisions of other laws, such as the Criminal Code and the Criminal Law Procedures Code, to reinforce all law enforcers. The last item, floods that hit a number of regions in Indonesia will potentially disrupt the supply and distribution of goods. Therefore, Trade Ministry announced that it would monitor the impacts of the floods to the supply and prices of basic commodities in a number of flood-affected regions, including West Sumatra and Bangka. In West Sumatra, the impacts of floods to the supply, prices, and distribution of basic commodities are still small. Director of Basic Commodities and Strategic Goods of the Trade Ministry, Robert James Bintario, on Saturday took example of 50 Kota District, West Sumatra, that the prices of basic commodities are still stable and controlled. Robert visited West Sumatra on Thursday last week. However, one traditional market, Gunung Malintang Market, was severely damaged by the floods that reached 2 meters. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu on the signing of Memorandum of Understanding with mass organizations at the Defense Ministry in Jakarta said all kinds of violence, moreover radicalism, which harm the state and nation must be destroyed. The minister said there must not be a place for radicalism and its kind that has been grown in Indonesia.
Ya, teroris, separatisme, tidak ada tawar menara masalah pemberontak. Pemberontak harus dihilangkan.
There is no bargaining for terrorism, separatism, and even insurgency. Insurgency must be destroyed. If we let one tribe separate, all tribes will insurgent. Sometimes we do not much thinking. Natural and environmental disaster, insurgency, robbery, and violence in the name of religion is being used by a certain group of people. If they implement religious teaching properly, there will not be violence. Moreover, Defense Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu explained that one of effort to eradicate radicalism is by joining Defending the State program. Minister Ryakudu said the first target of the program is to attain 100 participants and the second target is to achieve 200 participants. They are expected to love their country and the defense of Indonesia will be stronger. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia to highlight partnership to peace prosperity at ASEAN-US summit. Vice President Yusuf Kalla sets target to have lowest interest rate in ASEAN. That was the news.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in news from across the country, presenting you various information from across Indonesia during the week. Listener, our first news comes from Cirebon, West Java. Cirebon Regency, West Java will use the sunlight for power. Cirebon, the only pilot project in the country to use the solar energy, cooperates with Lithuania. Cirebon Region Sunjaya Purwadi Sastra said the solar panel as renewable energy source is in accordance to the government program to create 35,000 megawatt power plant. Region Purwadi Sastra admitted to have reported the cooperation to the President Joko Widodo. According to the plan, the solar power plant will be constructed in the eastern part of Cirebon, which is launched as an industrial area. However, the construction time is not yet certain, because it has to follow the special planning of the regency, which is to be revised this year. Meanwhile, President of the Lithuanian ASEAN Business Council, or LABC, Paulius Kunsinas, said the power plant construction will not take much time or space. He added, the construction will also be economical because of using materials available in Cirebon. Besides that, the solar panel will be a new energy source to solve the power crisis in the country. Kunsinas also said, solar energy is more environmentally friendly compared to coal. The next news comes from Bogor, West Java. Bogor City Mayor Bima Arya Sugiarto inaugurated the Lawang Surya Kancana in the end of Surya Kancana Street on Wednesday, February the 10th. Lawang Surya Kancana is a red gate with Chinese features written Lawang Surya Kancana, Kampung Dengah, Bitensor, Dayeuh, Bogor. According to the mayor, the gate is built in Chinatown of Bogor or the residence and business area of the Chinese ethnic. Bima claimed that the gate is a symbol of acculturation. The acculturation meets Sundanese culture in Kampung Dengah language and Dayeuh Bogor, colonial culture from Bitensor in Chinese gate architecture. The Lawang Surya Kencana is located next to the Danagon Vihara or Hok Tek Bio Temple. It is also in the opposite of the main gate of Bogor Botanical Garden at Jalan Juanda. There are three-way junction of Jalan Juanda, Jalan Surya Kencana, and Jalan Otto Iskandar Dinata. The last news is from Gorontalo. The visiting for Malleo bird, or Macrocephalon malleo, is more increasing to the Hungayono nesting area at Bogani Naniwartabone National Park in Gorontalo Province. Malleo bird is typically endemic bird in Sulawesi Island, which is registered as the protected bird for its extinction. The data of malleo bird observation, which has been being conducted by the Wildlife Conservation Society or WCS for the last 3 years, showed that the increasing of the visiting of adult malleo bird, the amount of eggs that were found and the pearls that were released to the wild. In 2013, the visiting of adult malleo reached to 423 pairs. The following year increased into almost 500 pairs, and until last November, there was almost 1,000 pairs. The number of the eggs are also increasing. The increasing of the visiting egg finding and the increasing of the release of malleo bird pollen is caused by the improvement of the protection in the area. Well, listener, that was news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with February the 14, 1945, PETA Uprising. PETA, or the Homeland Defense Forces, was formed during the occupational time by the Japanese troops in Indonesia in October 1943. They were recruiting young Indonesian for territorial army to maintain Jawa, Bali, and Sumatra if the Allied forces arrived. Supriyadi, who was one of the first graduates of PETA platoon training commander in Bur, was struck by the suffering of the people resulting from the treatment of Japanese soldiers. People were mobilized for forced labor to build fortification on the beach. Many died of starvation and dysentery untreated. Seeing the suffering of these people, Supriyadi designed an uprising. Secret meetings were held starting September 1944. His planning acts were not only as a rebellion but also a revolution for the independence of Indonesia. On February 14, 1945, PETA in Blitar under the command of Supriyadi began an uprising. At 3 p.m. Western Indonesia time, Supriyadi troops fired mortars to Hotel Sakura, which became the residence of the Japanese officers. Japanese secret police headquarters also fired machine guns, but apparently the two buildings had been emptied. The Japanese had found out about the uprising earlier. In a short time, they sent troops to quell the rebellion. A total of 78 officers and soldiers from Blitar Petha were eventually arrested and thrown into prison for a later trial in Jakarta. Next is from 1989. Union Carbide agrees to pay $470 million to the Indian government for damages it caused in the 1984 Bhopal disaster. The Bhopal disaster, also referred to as the Bhopal gas tragedy, was a gas leak incident in India considered the world's worst industrial disaster. It occurred on the night of December the 2nd and 3rd, 1984 at the Union Carbide India Limited pesticide plant in Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh. Over 500,000 people were exposed to methyl isocyanate gas and other chemicals. The toxic substance made its way into and around the shanty towns located near the plant. Estimates vary on the death toll. The official immediate death toll was 2,259. The government of Madhya Pradesh later confirmed a total of 3,787 deaths related to the gas released. The cause of the disaster remains under debate. The Indian government and local activists argue that slack management and deferred maintenance created a situation where routine pipe maintenance caused a backflow of water into the methyl isocyanate gas tank, triggering the disaster. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, here is the headline of the week, featuring economic policy package focuses on negative investment list. The government launched the 10th economic policy package aimed to broaden the investment as well as increase protection to the small-medium enterprises and cooperatives. This package is a revision of the Presidential Decree No. 39/2014 on the list of open and closed sectors for investment, which is more known as the Negative Investment List or DNE. In the revision, the government added 19 sectors for small-medium enterprises and cooperatives. In a press conference when announcing the 10th economic policy package at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on February 11th, the Economy Coordinating Minister Darmin Nasution explained the 90 sectors include business service or construction consultation service which uses low or medium technology and or with low or medium risk and or worth less than 10 billion rupiah. Besides that, the minister added, there are 39 sectors reserved for the small-medium enterprises and cooperatives, which is worth 1 billion, will be extended up to 50 billion. The sectors include construction services such as commercial building and health facility. According to the Minister Nasution, the broadening of small-medium enterprises and cooperatives is conducted through sector reclassification and simplification. For example, 19 business services or construction consultation service will be classified as one. Meanwhile, the sectors for foreign investors cooperating with the small-medium enterprises and cooperatives for 48 were added 62, making them 110 in total. Those sectors include plantation germination with 25 hectares or more area, retail trade through mailing and internet. The chairman of the House, Adi Komarudin, commented on the policy package. He said all economic policy package must follow the recent condition faced by Indonesia, as well as to solve all national economic slowdown. Still, the package must have limits. Meanwhile, House's Commission 11 member Wilgo Zainar reminded the government to be careful in giving chances to the foreign investors and avoid unlimited liberalization that so far was seen as the greatest solution of Indonesian economy. Meanwhile, the Institute Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF observer, Eko Listianto said the government often revised the negative investment list, giving big role for foreign towards the national economy. The government should have provided some incentive to invite domestic investors into the sectors which was closed for the foreign investors. Eko added, the business sectors are less developed due to the lacking of the government support despite its big domestic investment potential. Besides broadening foreign investment in the country, the government should make sure that the profit will be for Indonesia, not the investors' countries. Therefore, the real contribution for the national economy can be taken from the investment result. Listener, that was highlight of the week.
Hello listener, welcome to Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start from Sunday, February 7th, 2016. Indonesian scholars as alumni of Sudanese universities have expressed their support on Sunday in improving bilateral relations, particularly in the field of education. The Sudanese alumni unveiled their statement in Jakarta before the country's ambassador to Indonesia, Abdur Al-Rahim Al-Siddiq, at a gathering in the envoy's residence in Jakarta. Ambassador Abdur Al-Rahim told Antara that his country last year provided 200 scholarships to Indonesian students to study at master and doctorate degrees. The alumni of Sudanese universities have long awaited and welcomed this gathering, said Dr. Tulus Mustafa LCMA, one of the alumni, adding that a great number of Indonesian students continue their studies in Sudan. So far, Indonesia provided about 20 scholarships to Sudanese students to learn at the level of S2 and S3. The Indonesian students in Sudan, among others, learn Arabic, the Quran, and Sharia interpretation in well-known universities in the Sudan. On Monday, February 8, 2016, M. Taufik Anwar, head of the Bank Indonesia BRI Mataram Branch West Nusa Tenggara, expressed his optimism that the bank will be able to disburse 300 billion rupiah of micro-business credit in Mataram and West Lombok by July 2016. Taufik said in a written statement received by Tempo that as of January 31, 2016, the bank has managed to disburse more than 100 billion rupiah worth of KUR, or microbusiness credit, to around 5,000 traders. Taufik added that, in an attempt to accelerate credit disbursement, BRI had initiated the Grebek Pasar or Market Rate program, where the bank allows credit disbursements on weekends. During the KUR acceleration event held at BRI's office in Kebon Ruk Market Mataram, Cooperatives and Small Micro-Medium Businesses Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga applauded BRI Mataram branch performance in disbursing KUR. Still on Monday, the state-owned energy firm PT Pertamina in a statement said that the company saved $208 million last year from buying oil at a cheaper price directly from global markets after cutting out its notorious trading unit Pertamina Energy Trading, Petras. The unit known as Petral previously handled nearly all of the Pertamina's purchases of foreign crude and oil products, but it has been long suspected to be laden with vested interests that take profit from the unit's virtual monopoly. On Tuesday, February 9, 2016, head of the Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province, Zulfiatno, on Tuesday, February 9, to RRI World Service explained that floods and landslides hit several districts in West Sumatra. He also said the flooding caused by overflowing rivers because it is not able to accommodate the intensity of the rain that lasted continuously. The flooding hit the city of Solok, Agam Regency, Solok Selatan Regency, and Limapulu Kota Regency, left at least 2,200 houses were inundated, and 40,000 residents have been evacuated. The floods had also caused Payakumbu and Pekanbaru traffic totally paralyzed. However, the present condition on the floods in West Sumatra has been gradually improved. Residents have returned to their homes and the road access have been impassable. Flood of several districts or cities in West Sumatra has caused 5 people died and 2 remain missing. During the emergency response, the National Agency for Regional Disaster Management has been providing clean water sources. Along with military, police, Red Cross Indonesia, and the public, the National Disaster Management Agency is now collecting data and other material losses. On the same day, Tuesday, Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya said that there is no problem with the environmental impact analysis of the upcoming high-speed rail link between Jakarta and Bandung, despite the fact that there is some notes about flood-prone areas and seismically active zones across the track. However, the minister said the Indonesia-China High-Speed Rail Link Company, as the project administrator and contractor, has managed to provide an answer to all of those issues. Siti Nurbaya said during a press conference about the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed rail link in Jakarta on February 9, 2016, that all of their solutions have been summarized in the environmental impact document, so there are no more doubts about the safety and the environmental impact of this project. Still on Tuesday, the Indonesian government's move in normalizing the situation after terrorist attack in front of Sarinah Mall, Central Jakarta, in mid-January 2016 was appreciated by international society because the previous tense situation gradually returned to normal within a short time. This was revealed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi at the Parliament Complex on Tuesday. According to Minister Retno, the compliment received because President Joko Widodo not only used hard power in addressing the attack, but also soft power approach. For those approaches, he added, Indonesia is often the main speaker in combating terrorism in the world. It is at least can be seen at the next US-ASEAN summit. On Wednesday, February 10, 2016, Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Secretary of the Russian Security Council Nikolai Patrushev have been exploring cooperation in the field of intelligence sharing to address security and defense issues, according to a minister. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated at the presidential office in Jakarta Wednesday, there is nothing wrong of Indonesia shares intelligence with Russia. The form of cooperation is possibly through exchange, training and equipment, among others. Panjaitan noted that Russia had offered several sophisticated weaponry, such as the Sukhoi Su-35 aircraft, submarines, and high-speed ships to Indonesia. However, he added that Indonesia had earlier cooperated largely with Western countries but lacked intelligence cooperation with Russia. The minister also said it could be cooperation in the form of information exchange in the face of drugs, terrorism, or other threats. On February 11, 2016, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi, accompanying President Joko Widodo, who is expected to attend the ASEAN-US Leaders Summit to take place in Sunnyland City, California from 15 to 16 February 2016. Director for Dialogue Partners and Interregional Cooperation of Directorate General of ASEAN Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Dery Aman, at a press conference on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the theme of Indonesian government will be Partnership for Peace and Prosperity. According to Dery Aman, the theme will be discussed by the Indonesian government because it is expected to provide benefits to the region. The theme will be brought by Indonesia, of course, about partnership for peace and prosperity, that we all or the international community know how Indonesia is and considers that Indonesia as a leader of ASEAN. So, of course, we have to stay ahead and to be able to influence the discussion that will benefit for our region, including for Indonesia. Dari Amanul Sesat, President Joko Widodo and other leaders of ASEAN countries will discuss emerging issues in the field of politics, cross-border security of ASEAN countries, and strengthening the digital economy cooperation. Besides, 10 leaders of ASEAN countries and the United States will also discuss about the counter-terrorism, and President Joko Widodo was appointed directly by the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, to lead the discussion on terrorism. On the same day, Thursday, Indonesian Home Affairs Ministry will begin to issue a child identity card this year, initially rolling out the measure in 50 cities across Indonesia. An official of Home Affairs Ministry, Zudan Arif Fakrullah, said the reason for introducing the KIA, or Child Identity Card, was to increase the demographic database and improve public services to help meet the constitutional rights of all citizens. The KIA will be the official form of identification for unmarried Indonesians below the age of 18. There will be two categories, one of for children up to 5 years of age and the other for older children. On Friday, February 12, 2016, Deputy Chairperson of Commission 1 at the House of Representatives DPR, Mutia Hafid, has urged President Joko Widodo to adopt a cautious approach while defining the meaning of terrorism during his speech at the U.S.-ASEAN Summit. Mutia said on Friday, the definition of terrorism for the United States and ASEAN is different, and President Joko Widodo should explain it, as in Indonesia is a Muslim majority country. She also remarked that President Joko Widodo should shed light of it, as the definition of terrorism in Indonesia is different from the perspective of Western nations, which associates it with a particular religion. She added that President Joko Widodo must be careful lest the U.S.-ASEAN forum forms an opinion that Islam is associated with terrorism. On the same day, Friday, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno says the several state-owned enterprises are assessing the public's possibilities to develop tourism area in West Sumatra. She said on Friday that one of the state owned enterprises, PT Kereta Api Indonesia, has assets in that region, such as the currently inactive Padang Panjang Bukit Tinggi Railway. Minister Rini also pointed out that developing West Sumatra can be set as an example to develop the Indonesia's tourism sector. One of the state-owned enterprises, PT Taman Wisata Candi Borobudur, Prambanan, and Ratu Boko, manages several temples in Central Java and Yogyakarta. Listener, that was the weekend review.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said Indonesia will highlight its concern for the establishment of stronger partnerships for peace and prosperity during the upcoming ASEAN-US summit. Indonesia's Vice President Yusuf Kalla has set a target for Indonesia to have lowest lending interest rate in ASEAN next year. Speaking at the opening ceremony of the Indonesia Property Expo at the Jakarta Convention Center on Saturday in Jakarta, that by the end of next year, all interest rates will be 7%. The House of Representatives DPR Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah said that the issuance of black passport for House members could reduce the frequency of working visit overseas. Fahri explained that House members who needed to go overseas must gain approval from the Foreign Affairs Minister. Senior lawyer Magdir Ismail said that the revision of the law on the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK was necessary since no institution had been established to supervise the anti-graft commission. Floods that hit a number of regions in Indonesia will potentially disrupt the supply and distribution of goods. Therefore, Trade Ministry announced that it would monitor the impacts of the floods to the supply and prices of basic commodities in a number of flood-affected regions, including West Sumatra and Bangka. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to Payangan Beach in Jember, East Java Province, so stay tuned. At the time of holidays, the beaches on the south coast of Jember, East Java will become the destinations of the local as well as people from out of town. One of them is Payangan Beach. As shown on the map, Payangan Beach is a small bay with an island nestling between two bays on either sides. This Payangan Beach lies precisely in Ambulu District, Jember, East Java Province. Payangan is a black sandy beach with big enough waves typical of the south coast, so it is less safe for swimming. Nevertheless, children can still play on the clean, soft black sand safely. And if they want to get wet, kids can still swim on the right side of the beach. This is because the position of the island, which is flanked by two bays. In addition to playing in the water and sand on the beach, the Payangan visitors can also enjoy sunrise and sunset there. In Payangan Beach, you can also do some downhill trekking. You can choose the right side of the hill called Cinta or Love Hill, or the left side called Good Hill. It is tiring, but once arrived at the top, you can enjoy a charming view of the southern coast. The trek to reach the top of the hill has also been equipped with stairs, so it is not too difficult to climb. Once you reach the top of the hill, all your fatigue will soon disappear because you'll be looking at the blue sea and the green of paddy fields while enjoying the cool sea breeze flowing gently. Not only that, on this hill you will find a vast expanse of grass. Here you can relax and enjoy the breeze while taking pictures. This hill does not only offer landscape, but also keeps part of the history of World War II when the Japanese were in the warfare with the Allies. On the hill, there are two caves, or more appropriately called Japanese bunkers. These bunkers was made as a hiding place and at the same time serve as the Japanese sea defense base from the Allied attacks. From the top of this hill, you could see the ship from the Indian Ocean that would come through the south of Java. From the top of the hill also, you can see a unique view, especially from the eastern side, because from here you will see the beautiful Love Bay. It was named Love because its shape is similar to a heart, the symbol of love. The scenery here is also beautiful, especially while welcoming the rising sun in the east. According to the story, if you express your love to somebody on this hill, it is believed you will have a lasting relationship. For those of you who like camping, you can also camp here because Payangan Beach is already completed with adequate camping facilities. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today featuring Payangan Beach in Jember, East Java. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing about an Indonesian woman who receives a world-class award. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, beside via shortwave. You can also listen to this broadcast through www.vy.co.id. A researcher from the Institute of Technology Surabaya, Dr. Sri Fatmawati, has become one of the winners of the 2016 Elsevier Foundation Awards. Sri received the world-class awards at the American Association for the Advancement of Sciences annual meeting in Washington, D.C., United States, Saturday, February the 13th. An environmental research conducted by Sri Fatmawati has been rated as the best in East and Southeast Asia and the Pacific. In her research, she analyzes the potential of medical and pharmaceutical plants and mushroom extracts commonly used in herbal medicine. Previously, Sri Fatmawati, who was born in Sampang, Madura in 1980, has been awarded the prestigious International Fellowship L'Oreal UNESCO for Women in Science for her research in analyzing the substance of the sponge that could lead to a treatment for malaria, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. Sri Fatmawati was also awarded the Early Chemist Awards at the International Chemical Congress of Pacific Basin Societies thanks to her research to cure diabetes with natural materials. She is one of the 5 female biological researchers from developing countries selected to receive an award from the Elsevier Foundation this year. 4 other researchers are from Uganda, Nepal, Peru, and Yemen. In 2016, Elsevier Foundation rewards the focus of research in the field of biological sciences such as agriculture or medicinal herbs. The award was given in cooperation with the Organization for Women in Science for the Developing World and the World Academy of Sciences. President of the organization, Fang Xin, said, "Determination, commitment, and enthusiasm of the 5 researchers have become an inspiration for the entire community. especially for women researchers in developing countries. This is a tribute to the hard work of women scientists who have brought impact on the world. In a statement, Elsevier Foundation said that the award is granted to allow female scientists in developing countries to build a network, at the same time inspire other women in the world. Well, that was Miss Eleni on Indonesian Women Receive World Class Award. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by M.A. Barik in Bangladesh. We have received his email. It was dated December 29, 2015. Hello, Mr. M.A. Barik. Thank you for your appreciation on our broadcast. In his email, Mr. Barik asked us to send him a New Year calendar, keyring, and pens. Well, Mr. Barik, we will forward your request to related division, and hopefully we will send them to you soon. Well, for your information, annually, at the World Service, Voice of Indonesia holds wonderful Indonesia quiz. And we suggest you to participate in the quiz. Who knows, you are the lucky winners, and at least you can get interesting prizes. So keep listening and sending your reception report to our station. Thank you. And before we read another email, we will play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners, wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Meski bibirku terus berkata tidak,
Listener, now we will reply an email from Sajad Sabir, our regular listener from Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Sajad Sabir said that he really likes English programs and especially music. Hello, Mr. Sajad Sabir. Thank you very much for your compliment. We really appreciate you to be our regular listener who always keeps listening to our broadcast every day. And hopefully, our programs can accompany you in your activity. So, please do not forget to send your reception reports and also criticism, if any. Your feedback will improve our quality. Because you love Indonesian song, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
I'm not afraid.
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we'll continue to reply a comment from Azam Ali Somro in Pakistan, which was sent through our Facebook fan page. Hello, Mr. Azam Ali Somro. How are you? Thank you very much for always watching and also listening to our broadcast. Yes, we also pray so that you can visit and also witness our beautiful country by yourself. Well, Mr. Azam Ali Somro, we are waiting for your coming at our office if you come to Indonesia someday. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and also for being our regular listeners. And we also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our listeners' mailbag for this week, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye bye.
Sayang, selalu tangisi kamu untuk melepas cintamu. Hati pun terluka, sangat perih yang terasa saat kehilangan cinta. Ingatkah saat itu kau bisikan kata cinta yang terindah, kau menjadi kekasih sampai nanti mati. Aku terlalu rapuh untuk mengenang memori-memori indah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.